Morning Show with Peaches and DJ Mota.
What's going down? It's your homie Dope Beezy, the Southeast Beast.
What's going on, man? It's your boy Jack Freeman, H-Town representative.
It's your boy D-Lo, man.
It's Cab the Don, man.
What's good? Space City, the great city. It's your boy Roose Williams.
Hi, this is Booker T, five-time WCW champion, and you're listening to the Brad Gilmore Show. Now, can you dig that, sucker? I'ma hit it when you're home.
I'ma miss it when you're gone. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Brad Gilmore Show.
On demand.
Motai is here via telephone, which seems to
was
be...
That, was that delayed?
No, it was good. You were good.
No, you weren't.
It seems to be a recurring theme today. Is we're, today's the phoner show.
You know what? Because we make it happen.
The phoner show?
We make it happen.
We do make it happen. Shout out to you, Peaches. You makes it happen.
Yeah.
How are you doing today, Motai?
I'm good, man. A bit stressed over a couple things, but I gotta get over it, so whatever.
You're better now? Are you feeling better now?
A little bit.
We have a good show. We have an interesting show. We have another, you know, every now and then we'd like to step out of our normal Brad Gilmore Show boundaries and do someone a little different on the show. And today we went into the sports entertainment world again, and we got to interview another professional wrestler. And y'all know how much I love professional wrestling, you know, being that I work in it and been a lifelong fan. Today on the show, we actually have the three-time WCW champion and founder of DDP Yoga, Diamond Dallas Page. And he kind of comes to us, he talks to us about his program, which is DDP Yoga, and all the success that he's had with it. And we talk a little bit about wrestling, but mainly about the yoga. It was pretty interesting, Motai. I hate that you missed it, but you can catch up on the podcast with it.
Yeah, I'll catch up. Or maybe I can just listen back.
Did you just tell Tyler to check the show out?
Throwing little random remarks.
Yeah, I definitely just told DJ Motai to check the show out.
That's funny.
Whatever.
Oh, man. Motai, man, I wanted to ask you, man, do you have anything coming up that you want to tell the folks about?
Myself, you mean as far as, I guess, gigs and whatnot?
Yeah. Anything, really.
Nothing locked in, but there'll definitely be a few things in October. But there's nothing locked in yet, so I can't really say anything yet.
Okay. How was that hair show that you worked?
It was good. It was, I guess you could say, sort of a new experience of DJing, you know? But it was pretty easy. It wasn't anything to it.
That's dope. Now, Peaches, you have anything coming up?
I'm working on some videos. I'm working on an Ask Peaches with Friends.
Ask Peaches with Friends, all right.
Another type of show with somebody else. It's going to be interesting. We're going to tackle, like, common sense shit, but in a real way.
This is the Ask Peaches with Friends?
Nah.
Oh, this is a different
kinda
thing.
But it's going to be a little different. You know, just working on putting stuff out.
I see. You see, we're all trying to blossom individually. And you I think that's what we always have the mothership that is the Brad Gilmore Show.
This ain't my mothership. I'm my own mothership.
Man, F you and your mothership.
Hey. Brad's been on something else today. What is your problem?
Peaches, I just realized that I'm the
best person ever. I know.
No, I'm the entertainment world champion. And I'm going to act like a world champion acts.
Make sure you follow and subscribe to Tata La Peaches TV on YouTube. I'm putting up videos from this fake Monday morning of Brad shenanigans because I have like five.
Peaches trying to come up. I fucks with Peaches for that. Yeah, check me out too. This BradGilmore.podbean.com is where you can listen to the podcast, or you can go to iTunes and hit the subscribe button, rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Just type the Brad Gilmore Show in. It'll come right up, the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand with Peaches and DJ Motai. Also follow DJ Motai. DJ Motai, tell them where they can find you.
What was that?
Tell them where they can find you.
Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, just type in DJ Motai. That's DJ Motai. And if you have any mixes you want to send over, okay, first of all, mixes. If you want to send me an email for mixes, please type it like, you know, where it's legible professionally. I don't want to read all this, I don't know, text language.
Basically, he's saying anyway, that y'all aren't sending professional ass emails.
MOTAI@live.com.
Yeah. Get more professional in your emails. Put a subject line. Say, hello, DJ Motai. And say thanks at the end of it, all right? Because he's trying to do you a favor, right?
But still.
Exactly. All right. And if you want to, if you're a brand clothing company, restaurant, anything, and you want to sponsor or get some commercial time on the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand, just send an email over to the Brad Gilmore Show at gmail.com. Or you can email my personal email at bradgilmore11@yahoo.com, and we'll make sure we get back to you. With that being said, we're going to get into DJ Motai's Monday Morning Music Mix on the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. You ready, DJ Motai?
Yeah, let's get it.
Spin it.
Ooh, yeah. I'm working days and nights, still I can't get up out of this hole. I should sleep on
never get paid enough to you, boss. I've been paid to cost and what's worse. Never had time to hustle, cause work takes time. I'ma make mine. Great minds are like mines, and goals are like gold. Through the break by the fern. Step about the norm and get about the storm, and never doubt yourself or conform. And I've learned doing what everyone does would only take me where they've gone. So I'm thinking on my own, grown strong. Plus I'm booking the streets more. I don't need your cosign. I got my own credit, pay my own dues. I hustle hard and I grind. Billions are like assholes. Stink when you got some up till you get some shit. I'm here for the royal flush, sitting on the throne, not a toilet bowl. Nah. Try fresh out to no degree. Nah. Millionaires without no degree. Steve Jobs, Master P, Bill Gates, Jay-Z. Sorry, mama. It's bumped so I keep the llama. Sell us home so I guess if they want to drop to the fat lady scene, we in the opera. Honey, fly about the chopper. Shugging the restless, battle of the sexes, reckless. Life's a bitch, so I came, I saw, I conquered.
Yeah, bitch. I'm working days and nights, still I can't get up out of this hole. I struggle all through the middle.
Words, yeah. Words, it's a come up, and I'm coming up, so I'm working.
I struggle all through the middle. Words,
work. It's a come up and I'm coming up, so I'm working.
Be defined by they say, but they say what they think, cause they ain't up in my shoes, nigga, I'm too. And they fake, I'm brand new. Y'all can't tell me what I can't do, that's my move. Y'all ain't seen what I've been through. Your worst dreams in my rear view. My drive, I'm parallel. Can't park till I'm 106, shift the years, past fears and appears at the carousel. Clown niggas, I'm different. Can't base what I'm gonna be off what everybody else kissing. See, hope I listen. I'm one deep in that HOV. No need for no transmission. I'm too fly for that traffic and too high for y'all's opinion, bitch. Keep it. My shades closed, my seat back, my weed rope, my drain pulled. Your words, you can eat that. Move a thought, hate that. Success, I'ma make that.
Matter of fact, I'ma take that.
So you can check a job with this 9 to 5, or you can go out and get this money and be live. You ain't tight unless you're in the spotlight, right?
Still yeah. I can't get up out of this hole.
Right.
Yeah, they ain't never seen no luxury. Cripple, living on persistence. Piston, turning y'all about who I used to be. That ain't right. They say the good die young, but it's not right. I say you die when you grind, don't make none. What you gonna do when you get laid off? Takes right off, never bought more, get laid up. No hate to them no boys, gamblers or no strippers. Cause that's a drug, we roll the dice, trying to make the whole world tipples. Yeah, loosens up to the drink sippers. I'm thug nature plus ambitious. I'm coming down with a bank mission, trying to get cake and I cake too.
You see, I told you stop counting your problems and start counting your blessings.
This is the cheers to years.
Preach,
of pain.
Tabernacle rest.
Cheers to years.
See, you gotta walk with your right foot in front and let your left foot be behind.
Stress.
You aiming for this money, that's the only way you gonna change. So let's work and grind.
I don't give a fuck, man. You ready? Let's go.
I'm ready.
6 million ways to die. Little nigga with the chopper will kill for them sabatas. Ain't nothing but some papas. When the California dreamin' turned to screaming for the mamas and the papas. All the leaves are brown and the sky's gray. You leak and bleed now, you can die today. Niggas trying to find a way out of the grave, but you can't do that. The hood is a cage, get your cap snapped back. See, we made to live, to die, to want to fight for our shit. While they sit back, collect stacks and get rich. Shit, don't be stupid for them swooshes. Cause you gotta get the new shit, take what you want, just do it. So
I see them niggas waiting in line, but listen. Five, I got my nine, so pretend I'll be mine.
Hand over them 11s, find out if there's a heaven. Death and light's a thin white line. Are you ready to die?
I'm ready.
Die, motherfuckers, die, motherfuckers, die.
I'm ready.
Die, motherfuckers,
die, motherfuckers.
6 million ways to die. You can live your life, never drink or get high. But that don't mean a thing. Man with G in his ride when he swinging real wide and he ran past that light. He never saw him coming, music bumping, sipping syrup, smoking something. Shit, they don't make seatbelts for nothing. He looked right, he looked left, he looked right. Saw them lights, say goodnight, it was too late. That soundtrack was a screw tape. Now you hate what you can't change. Too bad it's a damn shame, it all in the damn same. We crash and burn in damn flames. Heart just rise through the ashes. Death and taxes, only thing that's guaranteed to catch us. Like there ain't no catch up. You cut time to wrap up and outline. Chalk it up to bad luck, the damn truck. Now you see your life flash before your eyes. See them flashing lights right before you cry. I'm not ready to die.
I'm ready.
Die, motherfuckers, die, motherfuckers, die.
I'm ready.
Die, motherfuckers, die,
motherfuckers.
Yeah, it's fine, easy from the 713 with the homie Roosh. We'll about to show you how to get down. We on a mission just to carry out a vision and to give the world a little something different from the H-time. I stay fresh, no lie, homie, don't try. I don't wanna leave you having no hold, man, tie. I'ma play it if you can't tell, man, hell. You don't wanna make me steal, girl, hit her with the man's well. You should call me Benji Hyman now. Ain't no word in the dictionary to describe the way I flow. That boy on the ambush Willie really finna get live up in now. With everybody in the city just straight vibing in now. But I'ma pause and take a second real quick to say I'm tired of listening to all these lame dudes speak. Put my blood, sweat, tears into my craft, real shit. Will you please explain the definition of the word quick? Because I'm doing persistent. And it goes like all the bad looking women in the building is a party in the age, so you better. My team etched up, if you ain't with it, then you need to get lost, or you need to.
And I'm not referring to Michigan. Prepositions and adjectives in my arsenal. Chop them, string them together, and witness and come into the den. Mind are they talking, but let me tell you. Flip your middle finger up so motherfuckers get familiar. I've been living in my own cave, digging out my own grave. Next to where the sidewalk ends, that's what the palms say. Spitting cause bitten is therapeutic. It's ruined the essence. You would never expect them to do it. Impeccable with the spirit. Incredible when you hear it. A spectacle for your vision. Digested when you get near it. In a tree, you better be knowing I'm feeling like Harmon Moon. So you will remember the Titan in me. These motherfuckers are telling me RZA was coming with emeralds like it's Sonic 2. So keep your eyes peeled, pussy bitch, because I'm watching you.
Get lost, or you need to. The club about to close, girl, I wanna know.
next man I want now. Can you hear me? Fuck next man I want now. I'm quite persistent, never stop until I get it. If you ain't a fan of Bonda, then I think it's time to get down. Cause I'm an educated, very highly underrated rapper out of Texas with a goal of mine. I'm motivated, ain't a bit intimidated by the challenges awaited. Nothing gonna stop me telling mama that a baby made it. You know I keep God first, like the pimp said. Shit ain't been the same up in this game since the pimp did. Take what he done taught me through his music, make the word spread. Trying to make being real once again the trend set. Let's work together, we can all stray stunned. Lead a drama at the door, don't bring that shit around us. But if you can keep it real, then shit, let's all turn up. Work hard, break bread, make peace, show love. Show love. Bad hoes, drop low. You know I'm trying to see ya. Too fast, baby, go slow. Cause that's the way I like to. Your boy finna go loco. Because kinda find it in the R-O-O. You know you wanna.
Cause she had that kind of thing that was super tight, super tight. And she gave that kind of feeling that was super right with no lights. But everybody say she wrong for me. Cause when she out, she don't pick up the phone for me. All my friends say that they just tryna be my homie. When they say my new girl kinda seem a little phony, I don't know, cause if she is, that'd be a low blow. But goddamn, wait, try to give a low blow. I don't even see girls walk by no more. I ain't never seen girls bounce like your before. I just wanna know, am I stupid for staying? Or am I just attracted to the game that she playing? Or do I like that body in the bed where I'm laying? Or we just having sex, or is it love that we making? Are you taking? Or am I just a mess around? It's kinda funny after all the girls I mess around. I look up in the mirror and I see a lesson now. I guess karma laughing at me, learn my lesson now, huh?
Burn, baby, burn, baby, burn me flame. Burn, baby, burn, baby,
girls that care me. Anytime I needed you, I know that you'd be there for me. Light my love carefully, your smile's like a flare to me. Hold on to you forever, you the girl that made a man of me. Sorted as a fan of me, filling my life randomly. Now we sip mimosas, sitting underneath a canopy. If you ever damage me, you'll be there to banish me. Had I been alone, my man, I'd be there to she. Ain't got me feeling like a crack addict. Crack addict.
Cause I feel you.
And I ain't mad at it. Mad at it.
Cause I need you.
And my life getting high up off the ground. Cause this love slow burns every time you come around. So burn,
baby, burn, baby, burn, baby.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. Peaches, I'm so excited for this episode. You know how big of a fan I am of this guy and professional wrestling itself. We have the three-time WCW heavyweight champion. He's a two-time United States champion, and he's also a multi-time tag team champion, author of Positivity Page and Yoga for the Regular Guys, the best damn workout on the planet. His name is Dion Dallas Page, also known as DDP. How you doing today, sir?
Unstoppable, man. How about you?
Oh, man, I'm excellent today. I am excellent today. I'm so glad that you're here on the show today. I'm a longtime fan of yours, and I recently was talking to a friend of mine who's a referee for Booker T's Reality of Wrestling here in Houston, Texas. And he was telling me how much he's lost 35 pounds since February doing DDP yoga.
That's awesome.
Yeah, his name is the Stat.
I love it.
And I just had to reach out to you to talk to you about the whole program and everything. I started looking up all your YouTube videos on DDP TV and just realizing what an amazing program you've put together for DDP yoga. So can you tell me a little bit about how you started out with it and everything?
Well, you need to sort of know about what I was doing before I was doing DDP yoga. You know, I didn't start wrestling until I was 35, and my career did not take off until I was 40 years old. You know, so I was constantly searching for ways to hold back the time. Mm-hmm. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, cool. So, you know, when I was 40 and my career took off, I was in 1996, the wrestling went crazy, you know. And I was part of that whole tsunami, and I was wrestling, you know, 270 plus nights a year. And then at 42, I blew my back out.
Oh.
And I had three different back specialists until my career was over. So I would try anything. And what was suggested I was going to, you know, I thought yoga. At first, I was resistant. I was like, yoga? I would be quite dead doing yoga. But
me and you both.
Yeah, and that's why I won't let anybody call it yoga. It's DDP yoga. It's branded. It ain't Mama's yoga. You know, and And it's better to make people laugh and let them, put down that wall. Once you put down that wall, then you're more apt. I understand what it is. What DDP yoga is a combination of yoga, old school calisthenic rehabilitation technique, and something I call dynamic resistance. And I developed this as I was healing my own body. So what ended up happening is, in less than 3 months of doing what would become DDP yoga, I was back in the ring. At 42, the doctors told me my career was over. At 43, I was a heavyweight champ of the world. So that's how it all came together. Necessity.
What? Wow. So you kind of just kind of put together different types of workouts. And I mean, I've watched a couple of the videos. I watched you on the doctor's television show. And it looks like it's a workout that just kind of kicks your ass a little bit, though, right?
Well, it can. It could be the most challenging workout you've ever done, or it can also be the easiest thing you've ever done. But all of my DVDs, there is someone modifying the position or making it easier, however you want to take that. And there's always someone challenging it. So it really is the best of both worlds, and you can meet your workout where your body is at. Like a lot of people, are beat up, from playing sports all their life, or, you look at the top workouts in the world right now would be Insanity and P90X and CrossFit.
Mm-hmm.
All of the workouts kick your body's ass. My workout gets the same results, but it heals, strengthens, and creates flexibility, which is huge for your body.
No, definitely. And you talked about at 42, they said that your career was going to be over. All the doctors said it was over. And then by the age of 43, you were the WCW World Heavyweight Champion. And that was the match, the Four Corners match, where Mach was the special ref, right?
Yeah, and how cool was that? Because that was in 1999. And if you go back 2 years earlier, it was at the same pay-per-view, Spring Stampede, me against Randy Savage. That was my first huge win over Savage, and, the place, it blew the roof off.
Yeah.
So for Savage to be the special referee in a match that had Flair, Sting, and Hogan in, and I'm not afraid, and for me to come out the winner of that with a world title, and Savage hand me the world title crap, there would be no better, there's no other, I couldn't relate it any better than that.
Yeah, and just learning and reading and hearing stories from Booker and other people about Macho Man. He was such a scientist when it came to putting together matches. How was it working with Macho Man?
I loved it. Now, we were the feud of the year in 1997, which was pretty damn cool. And when you think of how many amazing feuds that Savage had, one of the greatest feuds. The only feud that I will say that was better or I would say as good or better than mine was Jake Roberts' feud with Randy. When he put him with a cobra and that whole thing and slapped Elizabeth.
And there
that was a big
He ruined the wedding with the cobra and all that. I remember.
Right.
So, and you talk about Jake the Snake, and, like I said, I've just been doing so much. I've just been spending pretty much my last week on your YouTube channel. And, I've seen all the stuff that you've done with Jake the Snake and Scott Hall also. And, it's at the accountability crib is what you call it. Can you tell me a little bit about what the accountability crib is all about?
Well, the accountability crib, I just gave it a name because, everybody just, it's not just Jake and Scott who have been to my house and worked out with me and did the DDP yoga program. My bookkeeper, Linda, she's the mother of my two girls that I adopted back when one was an infant, one was sick. She works for me. And she came in at 257 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
She's on her own program. I got another kid whose name is Dylan, who is 22 years old, and he's one of my editors and also goes on the road with Jake, and he came in at 358 pounds. And then I've had other people, so there could be an Andrew. So really, there's a lot of people on the program.
Yeah.
Whether it's to heal their bodies, like this guy Ted, who's 79, to Dylan, who's 22. And everybody is accountable for their actions, how they eat, how they train, how they live their life. You know, and that's where it all came. More than anything for Jake, you know, how he lives his life.
Yeah, definitely. Now is Jake still at the crib with you? Is he still living with you?
Jake just presently, as of this week, the first time he said he wanted to try and live out of the house for a while, and I give him a big thumbs up and hope he stays out and keeps moving forward. But he's got to come back. We're not giving his room away yet, but put it like that.
No, definitely. And, you know, I think the thing that kind of set off DDP Yoga for a lot of people and what originally also got my attention was the story of Arthur Borman, you know, who couldn't walk. You know, he was on leg braces and back braces and all that kind of stuff. And if I got my facts right, Dallas, he lost 140 pounds in 10 months doing DDP Yoga.
Yeah, and more importantly, he lost those knee braces, the back brace, and those wraparound canes that he walked on for 15 years. Because that's the only way. Doctor said he would never walk unassisted again.
Mm-hmm.
So, not to take anything away from doctors, but doctors will always tell you what you can't do or shouldn't do because they have to cover their ass. And most people believe what they say all the time. I'm not one of those people. I'm a medical doctor. And I'm not saying anyone else should do this, but a medical doctor is the last doctor I go to. I go to my holistic doctors first, the ones that will help heal you, not just through, like, what my workout is, minimal impact, but they'll help heal your food, like real food. I'd rather stay away from doctors as far away as possible.
No, I feel you on that. So, now, you talk about food and all that. What is Diamond Dallas's page's diet like nowadays?
It's pretty clean. I don't, do you even know what the word genetically modified food means? Do you know what that means?
Yeah. I actually saw a documentary called Food Inc. about that. It was on Netflix.
Yep, that's a great movie. Everyone should watch that. But Food Inc. really more than anything, focused on the meat, chicken, steak. All that, the cookie, and how effed up they let them treat the cows, chickens, and all that. Everyone should have to watch that. But I go to all that. All my beef in my house is all farm raised. I mean, cows eat grass. What a concept. I just follow nature. That's all that bad. And the other part is, the GMO foods, which is like wheat, dairy, soy, corn, you should really watch the movie Genetic Roulette. That's a heavy movie everyone should watch because if they knew why, look at obesity in our country. It's rampant. Now let's go back 50 years, not even, probably 40 years. Find me a person more than 50 pounds overweight.
Yeah.
Like anywhere. They don't exist. Like 30 or 40 pounds of weight was really overweight back then.
Yeah.
Now, for 140, 150 pounds of weight, you're overweight. We have so many people that are obese in our country, it's unbelievable. But it's not their fault, a lot of them. It's the garbage food that they serve us. So I eat foods that are not genetically modified.
Yeah, no, I definitely like the Food Inc. was just such a eye-opening documentary for me, and it definitely made me think twice about everything that I eat and all like the GMOs and all that stuff. About a year ago, I cut out all fast foods and all that. Because you should never know what's in all that type of stuff. And I've been sitting here looking more and more at DDP Yoga, and I'm a performing artist, Dallas, and I noticed after performing a couple songs, I'm out of breath and I'm a little bit out of shape. Do you think DDP Yoga could help me get into performance shape?
Well, I'll give you the best example. Chris Jericho is probably, he sings the praises of DDP Yoga more than anyone, and a lot of people do. But Chris is really like, it's like he owns the company. I mean, that's how passionate he is.
Yeah.
Because I helped him own his life again. Because his back was blown out. The doctor said he was never wrestle again. In 5 weeks, he was 85% pain-free. In 3 months, he was 100% pain-free. And headlined last year's WrestleMania, or the year before that. Since then, he's gone on and off the road, either playing with his band Fozzy,
yeah,
or wrestling with the WWE. Took off 6 months to tour with Fozzy. He showed back up at the Royal Rumble last January in the number two spot. If the Royal Rumble goes every 90 seconds, someone new comes out, right?
Yeah.
Well, Chris came out number two. He only does DDP yoga. He wrestled 47 minutes, 53 seconds. You tell me. He does one workout. He shredded, and he was in the best shape of his life, going out there and wrestling almost the entire time.
Yeah, you know, I remember watching that Rumble and thinking, I remember the fans were chanting, "You still got it, you still got it." And he said, "I never lost it, baby." And I guess he can owe DDP a thank you for that one.
He gave me a lot of props on that. We had like 17 different guys in the Royal Rumble that have, you know, that do DDP yoga, which is pretty cool.
Oh, wow. Now, I have two more things I want to ask you before I let you go here. First off, you know, like I said, I'm a lifelong wrestling fan. What is Diamond Dallas Page's favorite wrestling moment of his career?
Well, I've got quite a few. Number one, of course, would be becoming the world champion the first time. You know, getting Randy Savage to give me that world title belt raising up, and that was pretty amazing. The next time would have been in the same pay-per-view 1 year earlier, and having hitting Randy Savage with a diamond cutter and exploding the roof off. So those would have been my biggest moments.
Okay, and then my last thing I want to ask you before I let you go. Now, I heard that you're not the best gambler. Is that right?
Did you listen to Adam Carolla's show?
I'm a huge fan of Carolla's show, and you happen to pick almost every loser. You actually,
I picked two out of three losers this week too.
Yeah,
let's just pick them so people can go the other way. So if you would have picked my three picks and went the other way, and you went for on equal money, you made money this week.
I'm a great gambler.
I'm just not a great bettor of football. I don't bet anymore on that. And I don't gamble on anything but myself, pretty much now.
And you know, I think that's a smart gamble to pick because you've had a lot of success in your career. But I have to ask you: we're here in Houston, Texas. We're big football fans out here in Texas. Who's your pick for this Sunday? The Houston Texans versus the Seahawks.
Well, I'm going to go with. I'm really put a curse on them, but I'm going to go with the Texans. So,
hopefully, you work your
DDP magic. Sorry to curse you guys like that.
Well, Diamond Dallas Page, we appreciate you coming on the Brad Gilmore Show. I'm thanking you so much for everything you've been doing for everybody, especially like my friend Stash, who, like I said, he lost 35 pounds since February just doing DDP yoga, nothing else. He shaved 2 minutes off his mile just doing DDP yoga. And, you know, I think you have a great program. You know, I'm going to start getting into it myself. Just really appreciate you coming on the show, Dallas.
Hey, I appreciate you talking about DDP yoga, and tip me on Twitter @RealDDP @DDP yoga. If you want, you know, when you start the program, so I know we can keep in touch and let me know how you're doing with it. And also, anybody who's listening, don't listen to anything I had to say about DDP yoga. Just go to Facebook. One word, DDP yoga has one word. Look up on Facebook. Read what people write. That's the only way I can tell you. And then you're going to want to go to DDPyoga.com. On your life.
It's your pleasure. I appreciate it. I appreciate DDP. Now, make sure you follow him @RealDDP and follow him on Twitter also @DDPYoga and DDPYoga.com. Diamond Dallas, I hope you're right about this Sunday's game, brother, and I'll hit you on Twitter, all right?
See you, buddy. Thanks, man.
All right. Thank you. Bye. Peaches.
What do you want with me?
How you doing?
I'm in a really good mood today.
You seem brighter.
I've been in a good mood since like Sunday.
I was about to say Monday night.
Y'all should really come to Debonair Lounge.
we had the Debonair Lounge again this Monday. Shout out to Tay Mitch. It was fun. That was probably my favorite Debonair Lounge we've had since we started doing it for a couple months now. And Peaches, Mm-hmm. Peaches, they were out for me, too.
Brad be pulling out these little groupie skeezers. I'm going to have to beat them off you with it.
What's a groupie skeezer?
I don't know. I feel like it's something, if I was old, I'd have said that. If I was like 63, like I think I am in my mind, I would have, they'd have been old skeezers.
Wait, we have to dive into that. You're 63 in your mind?
I am probably like a mix between a child between the ages of 3 and 5,
mm-hmm,
coupled with a 63-year-old lady who is thugging, though.
You know, there have been a lot of people thugging over here on Twitter recently. Did you see the whole thing between Tiana Taylor and Rihanna?
I'll say this, because, you know, I used to be a really, really, really big fan of Tiana.
Hold on, let me explain to people first, or what went down.
What happened?
I don't know.
I want to hear what you think happened.
Let's see if I have my boss up right.
Your boss up? That's a world site.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
So we're not shouting out boss up, because boss up don't give us black no gossip. Money. But if you would like to give us money, we have an email for that.
Yes, it is the Brad Gilmore Show at gmail.com. If I have it correct, though, Rihanna posted some kind of Instagram video, right?
Yes.
And it was of a man dressed as a woman or something, and the woman that he was trying was dressed at sort of resembled Tiana Taylor. Okay. Is that right?
That's halfway right. Basically, that did happen, but Tiana posted a video of her singing a song first. It was Rapture by Anita Baker. And shortly thereafter, Rihanna posted the picture of a guy in a curly wig, and, you know.
And was it like resembling what Tiana Taylor was wearing in the video?
Well, not wearing, but just resembling, you know, what Tiana she looked like. And then with the song, it was one of those things that it's not coincidental.
Yeah, it was.
You know what I'm saying? It was, you know, shade is shade and petty is petty, like Tiana said. And I don't blame Tiana for responding back, but it's one of those things where you need to know when you're being defensive and just reacting. Like, Rihanna was being petty, and she's the queen of petty. Like, Rihanna is very good at being petty. It was just, I at the end of the day, I can't fault Rihanna for reacting. I mean, not Rihanna, but Tiana, because Rihanna was being petty. And I don't think that was necessarily staged. I think that was some real low-key, like, bitch, you got me fucked up type shit.
Yeah, you know, I it was a little petty, I think,
it
on
was
Rihanna.
Very petty.
But at the same time,
Tiana had every right to.
Rihanna was flexing. And she was flexing heavy.
No, I ain't gonna lie. When she changed her
banner,
her header to that net worth.
And it had 500,000 and 90 million.
In my mind, I'm like, Rihanna's the same age as me.
Yeah.
And worth
$90 million.
Tiana is like a year or 2 years under me and is still worth 500,000. I'm worth Jesus right now.
I'm worth
So I need to get it together.
You know, but then did you see Tiana's banner? Peaches. Did you see Tiana's banner?
With the one with the punching. Okay, see, yeah.
That was a low blow.
That was a low blow. Only because
for people who don't know what it was a Twitter banner. It was like two boxers in a ring, and it was photoshopped so that there was one boxer that had Tiana Taylor's head, and the other one was Rihanna's face. But and then the Tiana's boxer was punching the Rihanna boxer in the face. And it was the picture of when Chris Brown physically abused and assaulted Rihanna that night of the Grammys in 2009, I believe.
Right.
That was a low blow. Right? That was a little much. Right, Peaches?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like that one so much. And then Tiana Taylor said something about, yeah, you had $90 million because 90 million dudes have been in your box.
Well, not because, but it was like one of those, you got $90 million, but also.
You're and that's like, dudes.
My thing is, when you resort to hoe shaming, you have nothing else in your arsenal. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, she a hoe. Hoe shaming is just so high school. Like,
you know, hoe shaming? Is that a term?
Hoe shaming, yeah.
I've never heard of hoe shaming. So is that literally like just kind of making everybody aware?
I'm going to ask Twitter for a definition right now.
I guess that's making everybody aware of.
That's why Twitter is awesome. Follow me on Twitter.
Follow Peaches on Twitter at Tata La Peaches with a Z.
T A L A P E A C H E Z.
I realize I don't have like an online pseudonym, you know, that I can go by. I have Brad Gilmore.
Well, you know what? Somebody posted the question the other day and it said, without your online presence, would your brand survive? You and I are good in this. this is like where you and I be yin to the yang. Mm-hmm. I have an online presence. You have your online stuff, but you're not really there.
Yeah.
But everybody knows who they are when they see you.
That's
and you're
true.
Better with that.
I'm better with face-to-face.
If I could take that, some of that from you, and you could take some of that from me, we'd be perfect. But that's why we're a good team.
That is true. That's the yin to the yang. And yeah. You know who's the little squiggle in the middle?
Tyler.
DJ Motai. DJ Motai is my little squiggle in the middle. So have you got anything back on the hoe shaming?
I don't know. I want to know somebody to answer me.
But I don't know. I just thought it was. But here's the thing. Rihanna's worth $90 million, right? Why even take time to
I mean, because at the end of the day, they're not, they knew each other. Like, that was one of those things where, like, you know me. So for you to be doing me like that and then you did it in front of everybody, that's like, that's just rude. Like, I think that sometimes we forget that these are real people with real feelings.
Yeah.
That would have been the same thing as if somebody did it to me. And I'd have called you, be like, oh, this whole got me fucked up.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how much is in my bank account. You that you came to, like, that was at me.
Yeah.
So she had a right to defend herself. She had a right to be upset. Like, you can't take that away from her. She had every right to feel however she wanted to feel. And then it probably was worse and magnified because you did it in front of all these people. So it's not even private at this point. You got people coming for you. You got people commenting at you. You got people attacking you. Like, what you supposed to do?
Yeah. I mean, I guess. I just think, like, you know how, like, a Hove doesn't really respond to anybody when they diss him? Because he's Jay-Z at the end of the day.
I mean, but that's because he knows.
But would Rihanna not be the Jay-Z of, like, the pop, like, urban kind of pop market?
Nah.
No? Who would be the Jay-Z of that?
Of the pop market?
I mean, I guess that'd be Beyonce.
I mean, as far as actual moves, like, Rihanna got 90 million, but like Tiana said, like, you put out, how many, you put out an album a year.
I know, that's what I talked with Bree Terry about, remember?
You put out an album a year, you don't write your songs, you go in the studios and record them. Like, you, like if it came, like, put it like this, Tiana Taylor, vocal ability shits on Rihanna, period. Mm-hmm. Tiana can blow.
Mm-hmm.
Tiana can write, she can dance, she can do all these things, she designed. She has her stuff, but she just wasn't in the same position. Like, you know what I'm saying? But like, that's comparing resumes.
But could Tiana be at a Rihanna status?
Sure.
I don't see her being, and it's not a knock to Tiana, I just don't see her being that international superstar that Rihanna is. You know what I mean? I think Tiana would be like someone who's really big in the hip-hop and R&B world, but she would not be big on a mainstream level. And I might be wrong on that, but that's
I think it's one of those things where it just develops. I think a lot of stuff, even for Rihanna, her stardom magnified after the incident between she and Chris Brown, because then she became a victim. And mm-hmm. being a victim still pays if everybody still sees you as the victim. And I'm not saying that's her crush or anything. I'm not, like, she has her endorsement. She has all the other stuff that she's doing. And she's living her life by all means. You know, boo, I need to get like you. But still, like, she, like, I think, like, the entire thing was petty.
Yeah.
It'd have been like me doing that to one of my friends and being like, well, bitch, you know me, though. Like, if she would have had every right to be upset. And even, you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, whatever it is, if I felt a certain way and I did it, I have my reasons, as do they, for them being upset. It just is what it is.
Yeah, I guess I see that. But at the same time, like, Tiana can get on Rihanna, though, for having, like, 30. She said, you know, you should have 90 million. You put out, what, 30 albums? But
Tiana,
here's the thing.
Can't talk as far as that's concerned either, because.
But no, what I want to say is, like,
about, like, hoe shaming, I don't think it's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just like, okay, so you want her to not have sex with anybody, or now you mad at who she's had sex with? Either way it goes, she's having sex with somebody.
And I don't, you know, another term I don't like is, like, the industry groupie. Now, I understand that that is a real thing, but here's the thing. Would you call, I mean, industry groupie is a term that could also be related to the office slut, right?
Right.
And to me, though, it's like, you know, she might be sleeping with men. And I think the only reason, though, it's like, because, like, okay, you're at a job, right, Peaches? Say you work at the spaghetti warehouse. Mm-hmm. All right, that's where Peaches works. She works at the spaghetti warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a host named Todd, right? And then there's a waiter named Steven. And then there's a chef named Marcus, right? And you end up having a thing for Todd
because y'all see each other every day, right?
Okay.
Y'all always interact with each other.
All right.
So you and Todd kind of get it popping, right? But then you realize Todd's never going to advance in life. He's always going to be a host at the spaghetti warehouse.
Okay.
So you want to move on to Steven, who's the top waiter, all right? He's making the good tips. He's making the good money, right?
Okay.
And but he has his drive. So you say, you know what? I like Steven. Steven likes me. You and Steven get it popping, right? But then you realize you and Steven just aren't compatible because he's a dumbass, right?
Mm-hmm.
All he knows how to do is take orders. He didn't know how to take your feelings,
mm-hmm.
all right? So you and Steven, bow, gone, all right? Then you move on to the top dog, the man who makes the spaghetti at the warehouse. You move on to the top chef, Marcus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you and Marcus finally kind of get it popping, and then one night when y'all are going to a award show, he beats the shit out of you.
Wait. Okay.
Okay? But guess what? That doesn't work out either.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is, you might have slept with the same men within the same group of people within the same industry in the same place, but does that make you a hoe? No. Just these people that you run into because you see them every day because you're at work with each other, that you just happen to grow feelings for them. I think that's a natural thing.
I mean, it is. It's just one of those things.
And shout out to Todd, Steven, and Marcus in my imagination.
You know what I'm saying? it's one of those things where it's like everybody was just close, but I think that I have a theory.
Let me hear it.
I think it's harder for people who are in an industry where you work with creatives
mm-hmm.
to not be attracted to a lot of people at the same time.
Yeah.
Because it's always something about somebody else that's just like,
oh, I like that.
Right. And it doesn't
necessarily might be their energy.
Right. And it doesn't mean that you want a relationship with them, but you might want to spend time with them or whatever. Like, we put so many constraints on stuff like that, and then that hinders like interaction.
Real things from blossoming.
Yeah,
also,
like, I mean, you know, you might be inspired by that person. That might be your muse. Like, that's cool. There's nothing wrong with experiencing that. It's one of those things where if you're not in a relationship with somebody, and you know, if you work those terms out, then you know what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with flirting with somebody else. You're not having sex with them, but what if flirting just does just enough for you to go home and do whomever you are doing a little bit better that day? But because you flirted with somebody else, it doesn't mean that you were thinking about them. Maybe you just like the way that they made you feel.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that you want to be with them. Like, y'all might not be compatible for long periods of time. Y'all might just be, you know what I'm saying? When I see you, we speak, it's what it was. It's one of those things, like, attraction is something that's real and that people try to suppress and try to find explanations for. And sometimes they really just don't have any.
It's just something about that person that just, for lack of a better word, just, it just does it for you.
At that time, experience or whatever.
You know, and I think that's, and here's the thing. I find myself to be attracted, physically attracted to multitudes of women, right?
But that's not going to stop ever. Like, that is not.
No, and that's what I'm saying. Now, here's the thing, Peaches. I need some counseling. Brad Gilmore needs some counseling. All right, you ready? Are you ready for this?
Yes.
What are you laughing at?
This group chat.
Well, put the group chat down.
Don't tell me what's
Brad Gilmore needs some help from Peaches. Okay, so I find myself to find a girl attractive, right?
Mm-hmm.
We start the textual relationship, right?
See.
Well, hold on. Let me finish. We start the textual relationship, right? And when she starts to kind of seem like, all right, she's really digging herself some Lord Trillmore.
Mm-hmm.
Lord Trillmore's like, you know what? She's cool, but if I kind of, you know, attach myself to her,
mm-hmm.
right, then that means all the other women now are out of my life, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Now, am I having issues of commitment? Is that a commitment issue?
I mean,
is that what that is? I never thought I would have commitment issues. Is that what that is, though?
It might be. I could see you having commitment issues.
What makes you say that?
Because you like attention.
Yeah.
And then why limit yourself to only getting attention from one person when you can have it from multiple people? Maybe you're not at that place in your life where you just want to get it from one person. And there's nothing wrong with that.
You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
You liked the way that sounded.
I did like the way that sounded.
You gave me ideas. I mean, it's not that I'm like a sleep around guy, but I'm saying like,
I mean, but
I want. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I like to experience different people and
exactly.
I mean, and you know me. That's why I have a talk show. I like to talk
Stop
to people.
Stop slamming your hand on things.
I'm sorry. I've grown that habit when I'm around you. But it's normally when I'm exiling someone
Do
for
you
our
know
country.
How many times you interrupt the people talking to me on my day?
Like every dime, like once a minute. I just thought it was funny. Because you could tell people were trying to have legitimate conversations with
they
you.
They were.
And I would just come over and slap the desk. Bitches!
It could cut them completely off.
Oh, it was so funny. It was so funny. Now, we were talking about Rihanna. And then we were talking about Brad Gilmore. I would love to one day, Peaches, to have a conversation about Brad Gilmore and Rihanna.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to move on to someone who she did have a little relationship with. Who's one of the 90 million dudes, according to Teyana Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
He put out an album today. Yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever they're hearing this, it's about a week old.
Yes.
And it's called Nothing Was the Same, and the artist's name is Drake, right? Now, Drake was on did an interview where he talked about he wants, you know, a relationship. He wants to grow with somebody, is the way he put it.
I think Drake is a perfect example of what I'm saying. Drake is somebody who goes out, you know, through, like, basically, he raps his diary. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? These different girls that he met. Whatever, whatever. And we assume that these are all in the same period of time, but it's very easy to meet people. And you know what I'm saying? It's very easy to have short relationships with people. Because any experience that you're having with somebody, if it's between you and them, it is a relationship. Like, that is what it is. It might not be like a, this is my boyfriend, this is who I'm going home to, and, you know, considering in my life and all of this. But still, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And the way that he expresses himself is the same thing that people go through, but not the stuff that they necessarily admit to other people. It's those thoughts or whatever that they have to themselves that they don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, just always put out there. And I think that's one of the reasons why his music resonates so much. And people, even people that hate him, still listen to his music because it's real.
No, you know, and I think so too. Like there was the, what was the song I was actually talking to you about the other day? Oh, From Time. With Jean Aiko, right? Is that how you say her name?
No.
Jean
Aiko.
What did I say?
Jean.
Jean. So what's her name? Jhené Aiko? Is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
Did I not realize that she was so incredibly attractive?
Yeah, you've been...
I slipped on that one.
Yes, you did.
Oh, my Lord. She's attractive. You know, there was a song on there on the Nothing Was the Same album called From Time. And Drake really kind of got specific, like what you're talking about. Drake was talking really, I wouldn't say he's talking crazy, but he was really talking about people in his life that you think were actually, you know, this stuff actually happened. I'm trying to remember. There are a couple things on this song that I thought was weird.
Mm-hmm.
This is one, I want to get your opinion on this. He was talking about thinking about Texas back when Portia used to work at Treasures.
Mm-hmm.
Or further back than that when I had the Houston Leverage. Who's Portia? Do you remember that stripper?
Mm-mm.
No? I just wanted to know if you knew that. Now, the other thing he said...
you assume I knew Portia.
I just assume you knew
Portia. Portia, my homegirl. I used to go to school with her.
Okay. He said Drake was talking to his mother, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said something about, because that night I played her 3 songs. Then we got to talking about something we disagreed on. Then she started telling me how I'll never be as big as Trey Songz. Boy, was she wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I always thought that Drake and Trey Songz had a nice rapport with one another. You know,
that
early,
wasn't that was
that,
a
I thought
shot.
That was a dig. I thought that wasn't a shot. I think that was a shot.
Well, I'm going to put it like this. I don't think it was a shot at Trey Songz as much as it was at the other girl. Because basically that's like saying, oh, Trey Songz is always going to be bigger than you. And it's like, okay, well, now what? Because he's not. And it's not, I don't think it was a shot at him. Like, I understand how he could have taken it that way, but I don't think it was at him.
What Rap Genius says is that,
Rap Genius be wrong sometimes.
Well, this is what they said. They said the girl in question, whoever was playing the songs for, which I thought was his mother, I might be wrong. The girl in question was played Replacement Girl, which featured Trey Songz. And apparently the girl said, well, you have a guy on a hook who you'll never be as big as. Right? But to me, one, that was Drake saying, well, yeah, boy, was she wrong.
Right.
I'm one of the biggest stars in the music world right now. And where's Trey Songz? Is that, to me, that sounds like a shot.
I mean, but Trey Songz is still relevant, so I would say.
Is he?
Yeah.
What was his last album?
I mean, he did a tour, though.
Okay. I don't understand what your point
personally,
is.
Personally, after Trey Songz's first, not the first album. Well, I did like his first album where he still had braids. That album was very good. The one that came after that, was it Anticipation?
I think his third one was Trey Day.
I didn't like Trey Day.
And I think that's when he still had braids.
I didn't like that Love, Pleasure, Pain, Action.
The three Ps.
That was, I didn't like that either.
Passion, Pleasure, Pain.
The one before that, I was a fan of.
I don't remember which one that one was. But, I mean, I don't know. And but then he also said something about, I remember talking to Bria on Peace Street. Mm-hmm. Or she was at the Hooters on Peace Street, right? She was the one that could complete me. I mean, do you think that he's just getting... Is there such a thing as getting too personal on your songs?
I mean...
Because to me, it's like a really specific... And I hear it, and I'm like, well, I don't know Bria from Peace Street at the Hooters or whatever, whatever her name was. You know, I don't know her, so how am I supposed to relate to this?
I mean, because you not knowing her is not anything. It's just one of those things where you might remember where you had a conversation with somebody and where you were. I mean, it's not for you it to be that way. He's just telling you a story. Like, it's like reading a book. He's just telling you a story.
But from these things, I feel like Drake has a significant body count. Because I found out that he and Serena Williams had a thing. He confirmed that. He and Rihanna had a thing.
I mean...
Right? Those are two top contenders.
But why? Like, that's like saying you dated A, B, C, D, and E, and then you went to a different school, and then to go F, G, H, I, J. Like... It's people. Like,
no, I'm just saying. Like, I'm applauding Drake's body count. I think he's got some good stuff going. Now, does he have a body count like Nick Cannon has a body count? I don't think so. Nick Cannon, Kim Kardashian, Nicole Scherzinger, right? Christina Milian, Soletta E. Banks, and the end all be all Mariah Carey.
She ain't the end all be all.
She's not the end all be all, but that's like his end all be all, which I appreciate for him. But
it's not a bad end all be all.
Think about that body count. Look at that. He's got a nice track record. Do you think Nick Cannon's attractive?
No.
You don't think he's attractive, man?
He's not my type.
So what is it about all these super attractive women that are attractive? Why are they attracted to Nick Cannon?
Money? I don't know. I'm not saying that he's not an attractive man. He's just not attractive to me.
They always called him a baby Will Smith. I always heard that.
He's just, Nick Cannon just isn't, like, from how, you know, from my perception-wise, he's just not my type. Like, it doesn't seem like I would want to be with him or be around him. Like, he don't do it for me. Damn it. He doesn't.
No.
You see T.I. telling myself, what up?
You like T.I.?
I do. He little, but sure.
You know, how tall is T.I.? Like, what? He looks like 5'9"? 5'10"?
Maybe.
You know who is short in person?
Who
I would never expect to be that short?
Who?
Ludacris.
Really?
Ludacris is like, I swear, when I met him, he was tiny. Like, it's no
a
knock
lot
to Luda.
Men in the entertainment industry are...
But Luda has a big voice. He's got a really big, loud, like aggressive voice. So he was about 5'8", maybe. You know, he was a really short guy. Do you find Ludacris attractive?
I used to, not so much anymore, but that's because I think it's just one of those things where I was just a really big fan of his music. But nah.
You know, speaking of Ludacris and T.I., they were at one time, they were considered one of the best ever. Do you know what I mean? They were considered that. Do you think?
I think Ludacris is still one of that. I think he's
Ludacris
just older.
Ludacris is still in my top 5.
Yeah, he's just older, but.
But think about this, though. I mean, Jay's the perfect example. Jay's older, and he's still as relevant as he ever has been.
Yeah, but that's.
And think about this. You know, Big Daddy Kane was one of the biggest rappers of all time, right? And he fell off, and now he's looked at as an old-timer, right?
I mean,
but he's 1 year older than Jay-Z.
But he doesn't have the same range. Like, I don't think that it's fair to constantly compare people to Jay-Z.
No, I mean, he's the best to ever do it.
I mean, sure, that's personal opinion. Like, I don't personally, like, as far as, like, on paper, sure. But I'm not as much of a fan of Jay-Z albums as the next person, so I'm not going to sit here
who's
and say
your
that.
I don't think I've ever asked you. Who's your favorite? Don't say Boosie or Webby.
Oh, man.
Because they don't really... I mean, they count, but they don't super count.
Why?
I don't know. Okay, besides Boosie or Webby, then.
You can say Boosie and Webby,
it's
but
so
besides
sad that you know that.
But besides that, I just knew you were going with that.
I don't know. Like, I don't have like a dead set favorite. Like,
I mean, I have my guys. I have Eminem, Jay-Z.
That's like asking me what I want to eat. Shit, I don't know.
Luda.
I like Andre 3000. I like Ludacris. Word of mouth is still one of, like, it's still, mm-hmm. like, it goes hard as far as, like.
Pimp C is my fifth.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I like Pimp. Like, I don't, it depends on the day that you ask me what I'm going to say. I don't have a favorite, and damn it, I don't want to.
I mean, I think it's just natural for everyone to have a favorite.
It's like
though.
When people say you have a favorite, then you have to decide if that's your favorite. Then if you change your favorite, then you fake. I don't want to have a favorite because then you can't say that I said shit.
No, I don't think if you change your favorite, you're fake. I think that's just like a natural evolutionary thing of, you know, you as you grow older, you change. You know what I mean? And then when you change, you change. I mean, that's what you do.
Whatever. You're on Instagram because it's a fake Monday morning.
It is a fake Monday morning, and we have a good show.
And I'm less than over. I'm posting my women, of course, Wednesdays.
We have a pretty interesting interview now. Peaches, I was flustered in this interview.
Let me tell y'all about Brad. You hush.
All right.
So this is the second time that we've interviewed a wrestler. And Brad, professional wrestler,
world heavyweight champion.
See how former. He's doing this. And he's good when we're interviewing other people, but for some reason, when we get ready to interview a professional wrestler, we're about to be in the same setting as one or whatever, he becomes an absolute prick. Like, he takes over, he starts giving you rules and directions, and we know, I don't really care about your rules or directions.
Wait.
Shush, okay. My story, not yours. And so today Brad interviewed, because I'm not even in it. Brad interviewed Diamond Dallas Page, right?
Yes.
So Brad introduces me, doesn't even give me a chance to speak, and then continues and does the entire interview. When he finishes, the interview's only like 20 minutes. When he finishes, though, I'm like, he's like, but you, well, he didn't say that. I was like, okay, I just wanted to point out that you took over that entire thing. He was like, I get flustered. Da 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 da.
Here's the thing.
No, not your story.
Okay.
When we interviewed Booker T, he did the same thing. We got into an argument in the car because he was trying to tell me some handshake rule, but we went in there. I am a woman. I am not going into a gym and shaking the hands of men that have been working out all day. You got me fucked up. I'm not doing it. It's courtesy. It's da-da-da-da. I don't care.
Okay, can I do my thing now? Is it my time to talk, please?
Go ahead, because you're itching to talk.
I am. I'm itching. I'm literally scratching my leg as we speak. Look, scratch, scratch, scratch. I think it's because before I was a fan of hip hop, right? Before, let me put it this way. Before UGK,
uh-huh.
right? Before UGK, there was the New Age Outlaws for me, right? Mm-hmm. That was my tag team that I liked. That was the duo I liked. I come from the world of professional wrestling, all right? I work in the industry myself as a ring announcer for Booker T, the 6-time world heavyweight champion.
See how he just
WWE Hall of Famer, class of 2013. Okay, like that was a guy. Booker was one of the guys I looked up to when I was little, and when I was a kid, and I would watch this man on television.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with our guest today, Diamond Dallas Page. You know, who was the man at the time. You know, he was like this guy who super positive, and he would always say, "It's me, it's me, it's DDP," right? And I would always mimic that and say, "It's me, it's me, it's BJG," because those are my initials. And you know, so when I talk to these guys, and you know, it's not like we haven't had big names on our show before, but they're big names in the hip hop community, mm-hmm. which I've come to grow fans of in my later age. But these are the guys, it's like meeting Superman for me a little bit, mm-hmm. when I get to talk to these wrestlers, because I grow up watching them. Like, if Stone Cold Steve Austin knocked on the door I couldn't interview him. I would just fanboy out. So that's why I think I get so serious in these interviews, because I don't want to fanboy out. He mentioned, Peaches, did you hear him mention the Macho Man?
Well, I stopped listening.
Oh, yeah, he mentioned the Macho Man, Randy Savage, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to tell you something right now, Diamond Dallas Page. Oh, yeah, I'm coming for you, brother. Oh, yeah, dang it!
And you know... And the thing is, like, so this is the world I come from, and this is the world that I grew up watching. So when I get to interview one of these guys, I get so happy. And it's like,
what was that? What are you doing?
It was weird. No. With that
no,
being
look,
said,
with all of this, let me tell you how Brad didn't let me get no damn snacks today.
We can talk about that later. Go to tatalapeaches.com. I'm sure there's going to be a video up of it soon. And make sure, you know, you do all that. But having that said, let's transition right now.
Some Elton James.